From Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief for July 13th. Iris, July 13th. The morning read, 10 things in health worth the 8 minutes. Let's get into it. First, from Have Your Cake Liz Pruitt. Blueberry Cobbler, GF. I've been tinkering with biscuit recipes for years, and the usual drop-style ones always felt a bit dry, especially when I'm working gluten-free. The problem is that biscuits sit in that middle moisture zone. Too little liquid to be like a cookie, but not enough to be as forgiving as a cake. That's why they can end up crumbly, and it's even trickier without wheat's natural elasticity. The new recipe changes the game by keeping the dough a little wetter. It still follows the classic method. Butter is cut into the dry mix, then cream is folded in. But the key is the drop technique, which adds a touch more moisture than rolling out a dough would. Greek yogurt is folded in for extra flavor, protein, and that subtle tang that helps the crumb stay tender. When the biscuits bake, they rise a bit like dumplings, soaking up the juices from whatever they sit under. Perfect for a blueberry cobbler topping. The bottom stays soft and juicy, while the tops get a nice crunchy edge, giving you that contrast you love in a good biscuit. So if you've been frustrated with dry, crumbly, gluten-free biscuits, this wetter, yogurt-enriched version is worth a try. It's simple, uses ingredients you probably already have, and delivers a texture that holds up well under fruit sauces. Give it a go and see if it finally hits the sweet spot for you. Next. Second, from Divina Cucina. Surviving summer heat wave. I am so lucky to be retired. Cooking and touring during a heat wave is insane. At home, I can get up early and cook to prep food for later. I tend to do multiple recipes so they last a couple of days. We eat a lot of ready-to-eat food, like salads, mozzarella and tomato, prosciutto and melon, and simple grilled fish or chicken. We have more fruit, which we buy from a farm shop at the market twice a week. If you are out and about, the best way to cool down is a granita or a cafe shakerato. When you buy gelato, be aware that the pretty cones cost more. And also, sitting at a table, ordering one of those huge gelato dishes is expensive. I tend to order a 2-3 euro cone or cup and would rather stop more often since it melts so quickly. Every year, some tourists scream about being overcharged for gelato they had at a local bar while sitting at the table. Beware. They have prices on the menu, but people often just order without checking them. Water also costs more sitting down. I consider it renting a space. Often there is Wi-Fi, restrooms and AC, as well as ice for your drinks. While you are there, take time to rest and don't rush the experience of just relaxing. That is the Dolce Vita. Most Italians stand at the bar and order, where prices are much lower. My other favorite way to get a gelato for dessert at a restaurant is to order an affogato. Often, they will have a commercial pre-made gelato called a tartufo, which can be served affogato. There is a chocolate tartufo and also a plain vanilla one. Often, they have another flavor in the center. Calabria is famous for their artisanal version, the tartufo di pizzo. I tried making them once before moving to Italy. It's an art form. In Rome, they are also famous at Tre Scalini in Piazza Navona. They have been making them since 1946, a very high-quality version. Most people get gelato affogato, which means drowned in Italian, with espresso as a dessert in a restaurant. You can also order it with liquor. I love the chocolate version with whiskey. This week, I am sharing my watermelon granita, which is easy to make at home. Up next. Third, from Stat Pharma. Stat Plus, Tau in the spotlight at Alzheimer's Conference. This is the web edition of Stats AAIC in 30 newsletter. Sign up to get it in your inbox here. Welcome to the first edition of our pop-up newsletter from AAIC. I'm Stats London-based reporter, and I'll be here with you over the next couple days. I hope those of you in town can find time to escape the abyss of the conference centre and enjoy London, because this city in the summer is something special. Maybe you're ahead of the curve and took in England's win last night. In which case, maybe you're joining me in needing to pound the coffee. Any thoughts, questions, or hot takes on Zverev v. Sinner, I'm at email redacted. One other note before we get going. STAT has put together a special report on dementia diagnostics, treatments, and care. We also have a special conference discount on offer. So head here and use the code AAIC to download the report for only $5. With the exchange rate, that's less than the cost of this morning's flat white. And then, fourth, from the MKS community by Marcel360. Ask anything. MKS and histamine intolerance live Q&A. Hey, so I was reading about this live Q&A session on MKS and histamine intolerance. They're covering a range of topics, from the conditions themselves to related issues like mold toxicity and gut health. It's also about food reactions, sensitivities, and flares, which is a big part of managing these conditions. They're going to dive into practical strategies for healing. So if you're looking for actionable advice, this might be worth checking out. Next, fifth, from Healthful Radiance. This week's Healthy Food Prep, 7/12/26. Hey, I've been busy prepping for 5 people, so the fridge is basically a mango-filled treasure chest. This week's theme is all about mango, and I've built 3 main meals and 2 sweet bites around it. For breakfast, I whip mango with thick coconut milk and chia seeds into pudding jars. Light, creamy, and filling enough for a hot summer morning. The snack is a date bark, layered with vegan protein-packed cookie dough bites and a chocolate drizzle. It's sweet, chewy, and surprisingly nutritious. Dinner centers on a mango pumpkin seed grain bowl with feta, tossed in a tangy dressing, plus spiced burger bites served with a whipped yogurt dip that I think deserves more love. I also throw together a Mediterranean chicken salad, rich and creamy, perfect stuffed in toasted pita pockets for a poolside lunch. Most of the ingredients, mango, kale, cucumber, herbs, seeds, and a few pantry staples, are already on hand, so you won't need a big grocery run. If you do need anything, you'll find it useful in other recipes too. Enjoy the summer menu. Up next, sixth, from Lindsay Max, Complexity Edge. You didn't lose friends, you lost the ability to perform. It feels like a quiet grief that slips past the usual scripts. Realizing the people who once knew your quirks and routines now see only a version of you you curated long ago. That careful self-presentation, once a way to fit in, now blocks the path back to the authentic self you want to share. The loss isn't about friendships ending. It's about the ability to perform the role you think others expect, leaving you disconnected from both them and yourself. Because the story is tangled, it rarely gets the simple, comforting narratives we're handed, and the exhaustion of constantly explaining only deepens the drift. And then, seventh, from Vinay Prasad's Observations and Thoughts. When a famous person dies, doctors cannot help themselves, get a CAC scan, echo, BP check, eat fatty fish, and more. The article points out that most of the advice people grab after a celebrity's death, routine CAC scans, heart echo checks, regular doctor visits, or upping fatty fish intake, rests on weak or non-existent evidence, not on large trials or meta-analyses. Observational studies and small, uncontrolled reports are the main sources, and they don't show that these interventions actually extend life or improve outcomes for otherwise healthy people. A CAC scan or echo may reveal subclinical disease, but trials haven't proven that screening the general population leads to lower mortality. Regular checkups help catch blood pressure issues, yet studies haven't shown a clear survival benefit beyond that. Likewise, the modest associations between fish consumption and heart health come from observational data, not from definitive randomized experiments. So, while it's natural to look for actionable steps after a tragedy, the current evidence doesn't support universal screening or dietary changes as life-saving measures. Use the tests and advice when there's a specific risk or symptom, not as blanket prevention. Next. 8th, from Peter Attia, MD, Naga 399. The evolution of Alzheimer's disease and dementia care. How early detection, personalized treatment, new therapies, and a multimodal approach are changing the landscape. Gayatri Devi, MD. Recent longitudinal cohort studies and a handful of randomized trials show that catching Alzheimer's early can modestly slow cognitive decline and give patients more options for planning. Personalized approaches now use blood biomarkers and genetic risk scores to match individuals with specific drugs or lifestyle tweaks, but the benefit size is still small and varies by person. A multimodal model that layers medication, cognitive training, exercise, and diet is being tested in several phase 2 trials. Early results suggest combined care may improve quality of life more than that's the read. Small inputs, compounding results, back tomorrow. Want this every morning? It's free. Set up your own feed at storyflow.com.